Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. So, what is our response when we're in circumstances as Paul was when he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi? You know, what do we do when we've been imprisoned for the sake of the cause of Christ? What do we do when people are doing things just to create strife and envy and to cause distress in our lives? They're doing things on purpose to bring distress upon you. What do you do? Well, let me back up here. This is Philippians chapter 1. I'll begin with verse 12. And let's read these six verses that we've covered in the previous two episodes. And then read, I think, the next three verses to see Paul's response. And it's such a picture for us, folks. So again, setting the context, verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. So the next verse, Philippians 1, verse 18, starts off with these two words. What then? Okay, it's a question. What then? And I love that because Paul is sitting there and he's dealing with issues. Okay, he's letting the folks know what his circumstance is and that I'm okay. I'm in jail. Don't worry. The gospel is progressing even from here. It's progressing among unbelievers. It's progressing among the brethren, the believers, because the brethren have courage to speak the word of God without fear because of what they're seeing with me. He says, don't worry. Yes, you will have people who will preach Christ out of envy, out of strife, out of selfish ambition, out of impure motives. You'll have that. You'll have people who will preach Christ, and they do it because they think is jabbing somebody else who can't do it at the moment. He says, so what then? What should be our response? Listen to this, verse 18. Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. So, and then it carries the next verse, which is really part of a sentence there. But let me just stop for a moment here where we can see some wild things about this, okay? Some really interesting things. He's saying this, you know what? Oh, I just got to, hang on a second. You know, when I'm sitting here doing these things, my computer is just flying all sorts of information across the screen. Oh, me. I've got a little thing that's like a Twitter-type feed on the left. It looks like a stock market ticker. And something just popped up on Twitter. Dr. Warren Wiersbe died. 90 years old. Warren Wiersbe, mighty, mighty powerful man of God. A great Bible commentator. He's written all sorts of commentaries. And it's actually someone that I enjoy reading. Writes for us lay people, as they say. And it just came across here that he died yesterday. Received his reward. Well, thank you, Lord, for Warren Wiersbe. Isn't that great? So back to what we're looking at, verse 18. Here's what Paul is saying. He said, it doesn't matter. In every way, whether it's in truth or in pretense. In pretense. In other words, somebody's got an agenda. Somebody's doing this, and it's all about them. But they're still proclaiming Christ. No matter what, I'm going to rejoice. Now, here's the problem I've got with some things, you know. People will come along and say, well, that's the reason, you know, if somebody doesn't do this, you still have to just rejoice because of they're proclaiming Christ. The problem I have is that most of the people who are proclaiming things are not proclaiming Christ. They're preaching and teaching in pretense, okay? They're doing things in envy and strife. They're motivated by total selfish ambition and their own motives. Again, usually oriented around power and position and money. And nowadays, they don't even proclaim Christ. More often than not, what is proclaimed is denominationalism, okay? And so they don't proclaim Christ. So I cannot and will not rejoice over that. Paul said, though, if somebody is proclaiming Christ and the truth of the gospel message, I'm going to rejoice in that. And then he declares it again. He says, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will. And so he says that I rejoice. And then it's like a declarative statement. Yes, I will do this. Sort of leaves you with the idea that he's thinking, you know, there's times I don't feel like it. I'm not excited about the way they're acting. I'm not excited about the pretense. I'm not excited about the envy and the strife and the desire to cause division and selfish ambition. No, no, no. I'm not excited about that. But you know what? I'm going to rejoice because Christ is proclaimed. Now listen to verse 19. For I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He says, I know it's going to turn out fine, that I will be delivered, and I'm going to be delivered by your prayers and by the power of the Spirit, the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So what is he expecting to get out of jail? Is he expecting to be set free? Well, let's read the rest of the sentence. Again, it's a three-verse, one-sentence thing. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So he's not sitting there declaring, hey, I know that y'all are praying for me, and I know that since you're praying for me, and since the Spirit provides for us, that I will be delivered out of this prison, okay? That I'll be delivered out of this jail and set free. He's not saying it just limited in the physical nature. He is totally aware that he may be delivered and that the provision of the Spirit may be executed by his death, which is the ultimate freeing, is it not? The ultimate setting free of things. And he's saying, I know that this may entirely happen in this way, but that's all right. He says, I know that this will turn out. And he says, according to my earnest expectation and hope. Well, what's his earnest expectation of hope? That he will not be put to shame in anything. He doesn't want to be put to shame. He doesn't want to neglect anything. And he says this, but with all boldness, that Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body. That was his desire. That should be our desire. Okay? And that is for Christ to be exalted in our body, exalted in every way. If the Lord is exalted by the fact that we are martyred and we die, hallelujah. If the Lord is exalted by the fact that we continue living, hallelujah. Either way we go, we proclaim Christ. And he says, this is what my motivation is. That's the reason he starts off in verse 18. Let me read all three of these because our time's running short. What then? Only in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Is that our attitude, folks? Is that how we live? If not, we need to be living this way. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see y'all again next time. Goodbye.